Again, we'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning. My topic this morning comes from our theme, What Saith the Scripture? This is concerning the new birth. And know this, the new birth is a basic doctrine of the Church of Christ. I think that's important to understand. For our reading, we have John chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 1 and we'll read through verse 15. There the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who come down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is a common phrase in the religious world today, born-again Christian. Often in the context of the use of this phrase, it is to distinguish between Christians who are born again and those that are not. And this is an incorrect use of the phrase because all true Christians must be born again. The Bible uses the expression born again only a few times. Here in our reading, Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus, in John 3 and verse 3 and also in verse 7. Peter in his first epistle in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. But the idea of being born of God is used many times. We find examples of this in John 1 and verse 13, in 1 John 3 and verse 9, 1 John 4 and verse 7, 1 John 5 and verse 1 and verse 4, and also in verse 18. The Greek word for born is Strong's number G1080. It means to reproduce, properly of the father, but by extension of the mother. Figuratively, it means to regenerate, to bear, to beget, to bring forth, to conceive, to be delivered of, to make. The Greek word for again we find is Strong's number G509. It means from above, by analogy from the first, and by implication it means anew, from the beginning, from the very first. In the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus reveals much to us concerning being born again. With his comments that we've read in our reading, we will examine what the Bible reveals concerning the new birth. before we continue, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. In John 3 and verse 6, there it's, Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In Romans 8, verse 7 and verse 8, it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So you see, it's because of the corruption of the human nature that this new birth is required. Being in the flesh means being unregenerate or sinful. It is one who refuses to believe in God. Unregenerate people in the flesh, the carnal mind, is an enemy with God. The mind of the flesh is hostile toward God. It is unable to submit to God's will. And because of that, it lacks the Spirit of God. It is through the Spirit of God that makes submission to God's will possible. What is the importance of this new birth? Why is it important to be born again? In John 3 and verse 3, we have the answer in the answer that Jesus gave Nicodemus. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In John 3 and verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So, first, we have to determine and we have to define what the kingdom is. The phrase, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, refer to the same kingdom. And both are a reference to the church. I want you to notice in Matthew 19, verse 23 and verse 24. It said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." The kingdom was close to arriving at the time of John the Baptist and when Jesus started his ministry. We read in Matthew 4 and verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Mark 1, verse 14 and verse 15, it says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Jesus used the term church and the kingdom of God interchangeably in Matthew 16, verse 18 and verse 19. There he says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven." We know that the church was established on the day of Pentecost in AD 33, according to Acts chapter 2. We read there in verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And in verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said unto them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." And on that day, Peter preached the first gospel sermon to all the nations that had gathered. And in verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We know that Jesus was referring to something of this world, especially when Nicodemus had a hard time believing in the new birth. Jesus gave an answer in John 3, verse 10 through verse 12. There he says, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? The new birth and the kingdom were earthly things." Jesus is saying that if Nicodemus is not able to grasp these concepts, how will he ever be able to grasp the spiritual concepts of heaven? Even though the new birth is of this world, it's not something that can be seen. In John 3, verse 6 through verse 8, it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." In these verses, Jesus draws a parallel of the Spirit and the wind. The Greek meaning of the word Spirit is wind. You can hear the effects of the wind, but you cannot see the wind. You cannot look at the wind and tell where it comes from or where it's going. It is the same with being born of the Spirit. The spiritual rebirth is not something that is seen directly. Yet, we can see the effect of the rebirth. Jesus stresses the importance of the new birth by stating several times, "Verily, verily," or "most assuredly." The concept was the absolute truth. You cannot enter the kingdom, the church, without being born again. It's not an option. Just as faith is not an option. We read concerning faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." The new birth is not optional. You can't be saved without being in the kingdom. It is the same as saying you cannot be saved without being born again. Turn to Matthew 18 and verse 3. And let's lay this verse alongside John 3 and verse 3. In Matthew 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now in John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Being born again and being converted are the same thing. We have to become as little children with pure, innocent minds. Jesus tells us in John 3 and verse 5, "Unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So how is one born again? There are two elements that produce this new birth. The Bible's not speaking of two births, one of water and one of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. When we are born of the Spirit, we are born by the will of God. In John 1, verse 12 and verse 13, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Those who receive Christ, he gives the right, or he gives the authority to become children of God. To become a child is in a physical sense, one must be born. So also, to become a child of God, one must have a second birth. This is known as the new birth, or conversion, or being saved. This verse tells us three ways by which the new birth does not take place, and one way by which it does take place. First of all, the ways by which we are not born again, it says not of blood. This means that a person does not become a Christian through having Christian parents. Salvation is not passed down from parent to child through the bloodstream. Number two, it is not of the will of the flesh. In other words, a person does not have the power in his own flesh to produce this new birth. Although he must be willing in order to be saved, yet his own will is not enough to save him. And it's not of the will of man. No man can save a person. A preacher, for instance, may be very anxious to see a certain person born again, but he does not have the power to produce this birth. The only way the new birth takes place is found in the words, but of God. This means simply that the power to produce a new birth does not rest with anything or anyone but God alone. James says we are begotten by the truth of the gospel. In James 1 and verse 18, it says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. By the word of truth, the Bible is the source of the new birth. In every genuine case of conversion, the scriptures are involved. Apart from the Bible, we would not even know the way of salvation. We would not even know that salvation was available to us without the scriptures. We must have knowledge of the Word of God to become born again. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many followers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, Peter tells us, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. The word lives and abides forever. Though heaven and earth may pass or will pass away, the word of God will never pass away. It is settled forever in heaven, and the life it produces is an eternal life. Those who are born anew through the word take on the everlasting character of God's word. The Word of God is the work and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and verse 13 says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It is the gospel that saves, because it's from the gospel that faith is produced. Paul tells us in Romans 1 and verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And in Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith in Jesus is required to be born of God. It is faith that gives us the right to become a child of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. We read that in 1 John 5 and verse 1. Being born of the water. When the Bible speaks concerning the new birth of being born of water, I want you to notice that there is no definite article. Whatever water refers to, it doesn't matter what kind of water is used. Baptism, the same thing as being born again. Being born again makes us children of God, and it puts us into the kingdom of God or the church. In Galatians 3, verse 26 and verse 27, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, put on Christ." It doesn't say that faith made us children and then we were baptized. Faith made us children through the medium of baptism, which puts us into Christ. Being in the kingdom and being saved are the same. In Matthew 19, 23 through 25, Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" What stands between a man and the kingdom is the same thing that stands between a man and being saved. Baptism allows us to walk in a new life. In Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When a child is born, it begins a new life. And the same is true with the child of God. The baptism practiced by the early church was water baptism. We read in John 3, 22 and verse 23, just after Jesus had told Nicodemus about the new birth, he and his disciples were baptizing people in water. Notice it says, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized." Now John also was baptizing in Anon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. We know that in Acts 8, 35 through 39, that the Ethiopian eunuch was clearly baptized with water. For it says in verse 36, "Now as they went down the road, there came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" In Acts 10, in verse 47, Peter commanded that water be used to baptize Cornelius and his household. He says there, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Understand that it is not water baptism alone, but water combined with the Spirit. It is a combination of a change of heart with water. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Titus 3 and verse 5, there it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." This word regeneration comes from a Greek word meaning new birth or rebirth. In the example of Saul of Tarsus, we learn that baptism is a washing. We read that in Acts 22 and verse 16. It says, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Walking in a new life refers to a transformation. It is a renewed spirit, the putting away of the old man and the old life. And in Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In closing, Jesus reveals a lot about being born again in his conversation with Nicodemus. First, a new birth is necessary. One cannot become a Christian unless they are born again. You cannot enter the kingdom or the church unless you are born again. The nature of the new birth involves both water and the Spirit. It is only possible through baptism for the remission of sins. And the evidence of the new birth is seen by its effects on the one that has been born again by his walking in the Spirit. We read in Galatians 5, verse 22 through verse 25, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The basis of the new birth is through the love of God. It is because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and it requires man's faith. Remember these words, Mark 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And in John 3 and verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. If there's one that is subject for the gospel call, we meet you come as we stand and sing.